Today on Focal Point, from Pastor Mike Fabares.
If I look at this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, and I read it, and I say, all right, I'm supposed to make every effort to add to my faith not only goodness, excellence, not only knowledge, but also self-control, I need to know what the self is that I'm supposed to control. It's the first fundamental step, I think, in controlling ourselves, is knowing who self is.
Our culture promotes self-indulgence, and yet the Bible advocates for restraint. But what exactly does it mean to have self-control? And with all the temptations and challenges we face every day, is it even possible to develop this spiritual fruit without completely separating ourselves from the world? Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares helps us better understand the concept of self-denial and explains how the Holy Spirit is always moving us towards our core desires. It's another message from our series called Adding to Your Faith.
When I was a kid, I used to love to read the Guinness Book of World Records. Did you read that? I had a paperback in my bedroom, and I used to read it all the time. I loved reading about the 1,000-square-foot chocolate chip cookie that they baked. Or the picture of the guy who's balancing 84 milk crates on his head. Or my personal favorite, that guy with the really, really long fingernails. Remember that guy? I was enamored with all the people in that book who would break records and do things that no one else did and become the best in their field, especially the sports section. I'd read that whole back section of the Guinness Book of Records, read about all these guys that hit the golf ball the farthest and hit more home runs and stole more bases and rushed for more yards. And all of that was always inspiring to me because those guys were the best of the best. If there was a Guinness Book of Records in the Old Testament, it would be filled with a huge section on military fighting men. That in ancient Mesopotamia was the most important thing in a culture. Who could be a warrior and fight for their country? And in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 16, it says, even the guys in the Book of Records of the Old Testament who were considered the best of the best, he says, no mighty man, no guy who can walk into a city and single-handedly capture it can compare to the value and worth of an individual who has mastery and control over himself. The Bible says that better a patient man than a warrior, better a man who can control his temper and his anger than a man who captures a city. It is of utmost importance, not only in the Old Testament, it is of critical importance in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, it cannot be overestimated the value of the ability of the Christian to control his or her own life, words, emotions, behavior. That is the pinnacle of what it means to walk faithfully with Christ. You cannot please God without this element. And for those of you that are so good at quoting Galatians chapter 5 and saying, look there, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit will work this into my life. And you think somehow you can put it on cruise control and somehow supernaturally the Holy Spirit is just going to make you a self-controlled person. Let me remind you that our passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, comes on the heels of verse 5 that says we are to make every effort to add these seven virtues to our faith, the third of which is self-control. It will take every effort on your part, as well as a desire and a fruit of the Spirit. It will be something that you have to work on. So this morning, it's my hope to give you some tools to do your part in the battle to control yourself. So let's look at a few things. If I look at this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, and I read it, and I say, all right, I'm supposed to make every effort to add to my faith not only goodness, excellence, not only knowledge, but also self-control, I need to know what the self is that I'm supposed to control. That would be my first question. What do you mean? You know, who am I? That important question. And I think that's what we need to start with this morning. At the top of your worksheet, you need to know who you are. Who are you, this thing, this person, this composite that you're supposed to control? Knowing who we are can help us. It's the first fundamental step, I think, in controlling ourselves, is knowing who self is. So let's understand a few things about ourselves from Scripture. Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's try and fill in this chart that has for us three profiles of a person in three different stages of life. The first line is all about someone before their walk with Christ. The second row is about your life as a Christian. And the third row is about our life in the New Jerusalem, and we all look forward to that. Certainly we will, even more so when we understand these equations that we'll throw down on this piece of paper based on what the Bible has to say about who we are. Look, if you would, with me at Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. It begins with a past tense talking about who every single person was in this entire world before a relationship with Christ. The Bible says, as for you, you were what? Dead. That's not a very nice word, calling me dead like that. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. Do you see the paradox there? To be dead is not to be dead. You're not walking around dead. You're alive. You live, but you live in a category or a state that God sees, and He sees it and calls it deadness. You're dead. As far as it relates to you relating to me, you don't. Do you care about God? No. Do you try to seek God, serve God? No. You are dead. You live in that state of deadness. And as a matter of fact, in that deadness, you follow the ways of the world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air, we got a leader of this world who's not so hot on pleasing God either. And the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, they don't please God. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. That's what sinful nature is representing, this word sarke, flesh. And following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. As far as God is concerned, He's mad at it. It's sin. It doesn't please Him. The passage here, first upper left-hand box, relates to who we are before Christ, and the Bible calls it death. I want to call it this just to summarize the whole concept of sin and transgression and deadness. The Bible says that we are all born into a state of being wired to please self. Jot that down, would you? We are born into this world wired to please one person. If you have any doubts about this, have children. They come out with one basic agenda. Them, right? They want to please self. That, by the way, guys, is the essence of depravity. That's what it means to be sinful. That's what sin is. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. That's sin, guys. Even if it's cute and we think it's funny and it's wonderful that our toddler likes to, you know, do whatever rebellious acts we see that may be controllable and containable, it's still sin. It is the essence of what God says when He says, all of you people are worried about you. You're dead to me. You don't worry about me, and you're not concerned with my agenda. You're concerned about yours. Look at verse 3. We read this just a moment ago. We lived among these people that were all living to please themselves, gratifying each individual, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. Our flesh has cravings, you know. And following its desires, our flesh has desires. And following its thoughts, our flesh has thoughts. And we were like the rest by nature, objects, as far as God is concerned, objects of wrath. Your body, I'm going to use that word to summarize our flesh that has cravings, desires, and thoughts. Our body was also wired to please self. Second box on your chart. We came out of the womb wired to please ourselves. We were placed into a body that was also born into sin, and that body has desires and cravings and thoughts that are all about pleasing self. We all are born into that state. We all grow up in that state. We may find socially acceptable ways to live that out, but it still equals right-hand column what? We live what? To please self. Duh, right? I'm wired to please myself. My body's wired to please myself. Guess what I do? I please myself. We're all encapsulated in a fleshly body that is wired to please self. Therefore, we all please ourselves. We may cooperate, we may, you know, love our families and do whatever at work and be a good citizen. We're still pleasing ourselves. Now, The Bible says, next verse, verse 5, something radical takes place when you become a Christian. Second row on our chart, verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. He broke through and graciously did something for us we couldn't do for ourselves. It is by grace you've been saved. And God not only made us alive, he raised us up with Christ that very moment and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. He did something to me when I was saved. What happened? He got in there and changed me. He went from a dead state toward God and made me alive in Christ toward God. He wired me differently to where my heart, according to the Bible, look at the Old Testament prophets, they said it so well. Ezekiel said, he takes our heart of stone out and he gives us a heart of flesh. You want to put it in 2 Corinthians 5 terms? He takes the old person and it goes away and he creates us brand new in Christ. He makes who I am totally different. Look at your chart. It says, in Christ, right? As we live as a Christian, what happens to how we're wired? Instantaneously, immediately, at conversion, repentance and faith, we are wired to please God. That's what happens to every single person who genuinely becomes a Christian. They are wired in the depths of their heart, in the likeness of Christ, to please God. And we do. Look at the text. Go on, verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's a gift from God, not result of works. So that no one can boast. We are God's workmanship. What is? We are the real me. I'm new. I'm created in God. I'm created in Christ Jesus, it says, by God, to do good works. I'm wired to do good works. I'm wired to please God, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. We are new people in Christ. We are changed on the inside. We are fundamentally rewired to please God instead of ourselves. Problem. It's the next box, just to the right. Turn over, if you would. Turn back about four chapters to Galatians chapter 5. The prior book, Galatians chapter 5, summarizes and confirms your fears and suspicions about what we're going to put in that box. Look at verse 17. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh, that's the word there that translates those two words, sinful nature, if you got an NIV. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Yeah, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me also, which according to Romans 8, concurs with my spirit. My spirit is now transformed. Christ and I are in sync. We think the same. We have the same values. We are rewired and transformed to want to please God. Problem is, I got a flesh. That flesh has not changed. Its desire is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit's desire is contrary to the flesh. Look at that bottom line in verse 17. I hate to inform you of this, but they are in conflict with each other. So that you, in the biggest sense you, because I am both my spirit and my flesh, so that you do not do what you want. There's conflict. What does that equal? Right-hand column. If I've got a mind and the real me is wired to please God and the body I'm in is still wired to please self, then what's my life going to look like? Going to be some conflict there. I put it this way because the Bible says the Spirit always wins in these cases, and that we, that's what 1 John 3 is all about, we will actually win the battle. But the point is that we will please God with great difficulty. Okay? Jot that down, would you? Third column, what will my life be as a Christian? I will please God, but it will be hard. It will be a struggle. It will be a lot of work. That's why the Bible says, make every effort to add to your faith self-control. Now, I just added the third line to give you a little bit of hope that in the New Jerusalem, you know what's going to happen? You'll be the same person. You're created in Christ Jesus to please God. Your desires are to please God. You are made new in Christ. That won't change, but you know what will change? Your body. Put this down. I'm going to put these references down. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and 23 says, we groan within ourselves, waiting anxiously for our adoption as sons, the redemption of the body. Why? Because it's got cravings, thoughts, and desires that aren't in sync with the Savior. Now I'm going to get one at the resurrection that is. Or put these references down if you want more. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about this in verses 50 through 53. It says that this set of sinful flesh and bones cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They can never inherit the kingdom of God because they're out of sync with it. So we have to trade in this mortal body for an immortal body. We need one in the likeness of Christ. We need one like His. And so even, he says, I tell you a mystery, that the rapture won't even bypass this, that even if we're alive till the coming of Christ, we still have to go through a physical transformation because we need a new body. Put it this way in your outline, we will be wired to please God, and our bodies will be wired to please God. You know what that equals, my life? Oh, pleasing God easily. Make sure you add that word. Don't you long for a time in your life, and it'll come if you're a real Christian, where your body, every appetite, every desire, every thought is in sync with the will of God and the purity and righteousness of God. That's heaven, man. That's what it's all about. We're born into sin, wired to please self. We're in a body that's wired to please self, so we please ourselves. We get converted, and we're now wired to please God, but we're still in a body wired to please self. What does that mean? Conflict. One day we'll drop off this sinful body, and we will please God with a new body wired in the perfection of Christ. And that new body will allow us to serve and please God easily. Oh, man, look forward to that day. You won't need any sermons on self-control in the New Jerusalem. It'll be a distant, foggy memory. Because we'll think, man, sin, I don't understand that. Why would anybody ever want to be that insane? That's crazy. Please yourself. No way, we're here to please God. And your body will be in perfect sync with that. Okay, I think it starts there. Highlight that second row, because that second row is where we live, and that's the demand for self-control, is a heart that wants to please God and a body that wants to please you. Understanding who we are, the self that we're to control, is very helpful. This will narrow down our focus. I'm going to say something now based on that chart. And if I could spend a week and do a week of messages, maybe every night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and spend 2 hours a night talking about that equation that I just laid out for you, I think I could establish this beyond any reasonable doubt that this is what the Bible teaches and that that chart is theologically sound. If I could do that for you and you could buy that chart hook, line, and sinker and you said, I know that's what the Bible teaches, then point number two would not come as a shock to you. But for a lot of us, I'm afraid that point number two will come as a little bit of a heretical sounding statement for you because you've not thought of it this way before. Are you ready? Here we go. Cater to your core desires. Heresy. Stand back. No, listen to what I said. Cater to your core desires. Warning, warning. This is deadly for a non-Christian. If you're listening to this sermon or you're listening to this tape and this to you is something that you're hearing and you're not converted, you're really not a Christian, you're just a churchgoer, you know what? This is deadly advice. Because look at the top row. If I tell you cater to your core desires, you're just going to be even more sinful, right? Because there'll be no restraint in your life. But I'm telling Christians, this is the second point is only for Christians. Cater to your core desires. That will change everything in this scenario. Think it through for a second. Think through practically how we deal with temptation so often. Picture this, okay? You're at home. You're in your favorite chair. You've got your remote control in your hand and you're watching TV. You're flipping through the channels and then all of a sudden you hit a channel that goes bing! And it's all about the flesh. It caters to the flesh. It's for the flesh, by the flesh, to the flesh. It's all about flesh and the flesh is all about pleasing me. Okay? Now, fill in the blank. Whatever flesh part of this thing that's a temptation for you, put it in there, right? It can be sex, it can be materialism, it can be greed, it can be lust, it can be whatever. But there it is on that TV, crying out and appealing to your flesh. What do you do? Here's what often happens. We go, whoa, and we say, uh-oh, I shouldn't be watching this. This is not good. This is wrong. This is sinful. This is bad. This should not be, I shouldn't be watching. You know, if my church knew I was watching this, this would be bad. This shouldn't be a part of what I, this should not be part of my regular, I should not be watching this. Don't watch this anymore. I should really change the channel. I should not be watching this. Thank you, God, for that victory. In fighting temptation and sin, I'm so glad I did what was right. Okay? And we counted a victory probably, right? We turned it off. We changed it. Or you're a little bit more spiritual. You hit that channel, and it goes, boing, by the flesh, to the flesh, for the flesh. It's all about the flesh. Flesh is all about me. It wants to please me. I see that. It's an immediate connection, and I'm going, uh-oh, shouldn't watch this. And I start thinking, this is not what God would want me watching. This is not what God would be happy with. Christ is here. He sees all things. His eyes are in every place. He knows I'm watching this. I should not be watching this. This is not right. I know I shouldn't be watching this. I need to turn this off right now because God is not happy with this. And God would not want me watching this. I'm going to turn it off now. This is not good. I need to change the channel. Change the channel. Whew. Thank you, God. That was a struggle. I'm so glad, though, I could deny myself and do what you wanted, because darn it, I really wanted to watch that. Okay? We may not say those words, but that's often how our battle with temptation goes. Here's what I'm asking you to do that may be completely different from what you've been used to. I want you, instead of worrying about what your church might think, or your pastor might think, or your care group leader might think, or what God might think, and that God thinks this is wrong, and so you shouldn't do it because it's bad, because God sees it, and God doesn't want you doing it. I want you to stop for a minute based on our message. If those equations are correct, then I want you to say, I need to think about my core desires. Same scenario. Sitting in front of the TV, favorite chair, hit that channel, all of a sudden, bang, comes on. For the flesh, by the flesh, to the flesh, by a bunch of fleshly people, and the flesh is all about pleasing me, and I know this is wrong. Immediately, I acknowledge, my flesh likes this. But I don't. I am a child of God. I understand this is not what I want. Think that through. You're not telling yourself that. You're checking in with the real you. Ask yourself this out loud in the midst of temptation. Is this really what I want? My flesh wants this real bad. But I don't really want this.
A challenging mission, but one that is possible to accomplish with God's help. You're listening to Focal Point and a message from Mike Fabares called The Art of Controlling Yourself. Well, these past few years have presented many opportunities for us to practice developing the spiritual fruit of self-control, haven't they? And in times like these, our friends and neighbors are searching for a better way, something only the gospel can bring. That's why Focal Point is here each day, to point listeners across the nation to God's Word. And when you send a financial gift in support of this ministry, you're helping bring the good news to the world. And a great big thank you to all of our Focal Point partners who have supported this ministry financially so we can provide these resources without cost. If you'd like to become a partner today, or if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can do so online at focalpointradio.org. And when you do, we'll send you a helpful and informative book called Living Without Worry. You know, there are many things to be anxious about these days, and it's natural to be worried, whether it's about a specific situation or the future in general. Dr. Timothy Lane offers a helpful perspective on overcoming these daily stresses by growing in your relationship with Christ. Request your copy when you donate today at focalpointradio.org or when you call us at 888-320-5885. And when you give an especially generous gift of $75 or more, we'll send you an additional resource called Tested by Fire, Fueled by Faith by Vicky Zarate. Vicky's story is an inspirational and miraculous adventure about living through a devastating illness, horrifying pain, and quadruple amputations. Request Tested by Fire, Fueled by Faith, along with the book Living Without Worry, when you contact Focal Point with your gift of $75 or more. Visit focalpointradio.org or call us at 888-320-5885. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. Glad to have you with us. And be sure to listen Thursday when we'll continue our study in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're learning about developing self-control with God's help. Here on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now? drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.